Hey, everybody. It's Scott. Welcome back to another episode of the Verbal Shenanigans Podcast. I am pumped. I am back from vacation. I am feeling good, feeling relaxed, feeling excited, all tan. Well, not really tan, pink and red, but I am ready to go and happy to be back with you guys, our loving audience. Now, we got a good one for you today. We're coming off of the Lenny Dykstra podcast, which is insane. You should go back and listen to that one. But before we get to this week's podcast, let's talk about a couple of the sponsors we have on the show that we're very lucky to have. One of them is Susan Robb, who's a woman out of Toronto, Canada, who lives out her mission to inspire others. Susan is a client partner for the Center for Leadership Studies, original home of situational leadership. CLS is deployed in over 75% of Fortune 500 companies. Susan has wrangled a bunch of guests for us on the show. Paul Templer, Coach Jim Johnson, Dave Agerchuk, Muffy Bennett recently. A lot of really interesting guests, and she helps put together all sorts of motivational speakers for meetings and clients. Go check her out at on LinkedIn. And Susan Robb, R-O-B-B. Thank you, Susan. We are lucky enough to have not one, not two, but three brewery sponsors on this podcast, okay? One of them, I was just there. I just came back from up Lake George, and that is the Adirondack Brewery located in Lake George, New York. Went up there, had another great lunch, great couple pints. Lake George's IPA wave number 3 is on tap. This is the next evolution in their rotating IPA series that's just been tapped at the pub. Wave number 3 is exploding with hops. They hopped this beer with Eureka and Crystal that came off the tank with a green hue reminiscent of the dank pineapple and grapefruit IPAs of our neighbors to the east. Wave 3 is both new and old school in its approach. Also, Oktoberfest, one of my favorite events. Save $15 off the door price of their 12th annual Oktoberfest by purchasing your tickets before August 31st. Breweries, wine, cider, German music, German food. It is just a great time. I've been there several times. It's one of my absolute favorite things to go to. And they got new specials at the club, including the Bacon Gouda Burger, Strawberry Chicken Salad, and Braised Pork Sliders. That is the Adirondack Brewery. Demented Brewery located in Middlesex, New Jersey, just celebrated a big milestone. 2 years. They celebrated the 2-year anniversary. They had a number of beer releases, including Double Dry Hop Be Real, their Kiwi IPA, my favorite, cans, Sucker Punch, their Sour Blonde Ale, aged in Chardonnay barrel bottles, Bacara, their Double Chocolate Cherry Stout, and our anniversary beer, and Rumpelstiltskin, which was their Hefeweizen. This coming Sunday, they're going to be releasing Tom Yum Bia, their Thai Sour brewed with lemongrass, galangal fruit, kefir, lime leaves, and Thai chili peppers. Demented always has some really cool stuff going on, so make sure to go visit and check them out at dementedbrewing.com. Now, Joe Fisher over at Manskirt Brewing, located in Hackettstown, New Jersey, right on the old bank building on Main Street there. They got a new 15-barrel tank in, so you can expect more beers and more cans coming soon. And they've got trivia in the first and third Sundays of every month. So they have a lot of different things going on, seasonally inspired ales all the time. That is Manskirt Brewing. Now, who's that trivia company? That is Trivia Revolution, who I host for on Wednesday nights at Tap House 15. Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer, win prizes to different breweries around New Jersey, prizes to different craft beer restaurants. You could win even if you're in last place. If you score nothing, you have a chance to win, as the music dies in the background. But Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. All right. On this episode of the podcast, we have we talk a little bit of vacation, talk a little bit about what went down in Charlottesville, and we have the legendary comic Chips Cooney, a good friend of ours, coming off of his appearance on Steve Harvey's new show. Chips Cooney's been around for decades doing all sorts of things in the comedy world and more. This is our second time sitting down with him. So with that, guys, enjoy the podcast.
Hey, this is Michelangelo, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle here, to let you know that you're listening to Verbal Shenanigans. Oh, that's like because they're shenanigan-y and they're verbal.
But our shenanigans are fun. Yeah, I mean, your shenanigans are cruel and tragic. Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
We'll be right back. Hey. Hi, people.
All right. Mike Brillo, welcome back to the Verbal Shenanigans Show. We're back in the saddle. I'm feeling refreshed, back from vacation. It was actually a good week to leave an episode off.
Mm-hmm.
Because if anybody tuned into our last episode, you know what an adventure that episode was. We got the one and only Lenny Dykstra on.
That'd be hard to find number two out there of people like Lenny.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to get into this before we really started anything, because you heard the interview, but some of the behind the scenes and the what was going
how
on,
it came about.
Yeah, it came about, it is just as funny as the actual interview. But if you didn't hear it, trust me, it's one of the episodes you should go. Definitely the wildest interview we have ever done.
What I recommend is go to your local church and say, we have a wonderful interview to share with you,
yes,
and just blast it to
everybody. I heard it's good for, like, when your kids are sleepy to play it.
Yeah.
Like, to put them down to go to bed. But so long story, we'll keep it short. So a couple months ago, maybe 2 months ago, I tweeted out to Lenny Dykstra, who I believe, like, when we started that big list of guests that we wanted, like, possibly, I believe he was one of them.
He was on our list. I remember, like, it was a big hubbub. He came onto Twitter. I remember trying him when he
first came on Twitter,
and no response. But that was when it was, like, huge. He was just coming out with the book, the whole thing. He was coming out of jail, right. So.
Yeah, I've definitely I remember tweeting at him several times on my own also, just seeing what would happen. And he said, yeah, sure, I'll do it. I was all excited. This probably happened in June, maybe May. And weeks go by, and they couldn't get him on, which is pretty common. We get a lot of people that say, yeah, and then they just kind of disappear into thin air, which is understandable.
Mm-hmm.
But so we didn't have a guest on. We actually ended up scheduling Chips Cooney, who will be on. We'll talk about him in a little bit. We'll get to his interview. Mm-hmm. Recorded it last week, but we also, I randomly, as Mike was getting Chips, number and time, I was like, yeah, let's tweet at Lenny Dykstra real quick. I'm like, hey, blah, 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 blah. Like, we would love to interview, love to schedule an interview soon. And he gets back to me. He's like, sure, let's do it, man. I'm like, oh, my God. So I message him, long story short, and he gives me his number to call. I call, I leave a message. I'm like, you know what? I gave him my number. He's not going to call me back. So I call him again, and he answers, and he's like, who's this? I'm like, it's Scott from Verbal Shenanigans. You said you would do the interview. He's like, oh, yeah. Like, and Lenny was somewhere else. Lenny's voice was on the phone, but Lenny's brain was
somewhere in another plane of the universe.
Yeah. So Lenny Dykstra was more than messed up, which if you listen to the interview, you'll understand that, or most interviews he does. But I told Mike he was worse on the phone than he actually was on the interview. He was rambling, blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, hey, we actually have an opening tonight if you could do it. He's like, sure. And then he talks a little bit more, and then he's slurring. He's like, all right, so how's next Tuesday? And I knew right away that if we went to, like, next Tuesday, we'd never get him back.
No,
like,
no.
It was a now or, like, maybe sometime in the future, like, randomly again, but kind of a now or never thing. So I'm like, oh, yeah, tonight, He's like, all right, I'll do it tonight. And he's like, well, first I got to, this plane's got to land, and then I got to go back to the room with this stewardess for a while and, like, show her who the king is. And I'm sitting there like, why is no one here with me? Like this is one of those moments where no one's going to believe me. And I said, okay, we'll call you at 8 o'clock, I think, or 8:30 or something like that. And I fully expected him to not be on the other end of that line. And he was rambling and whatever. Sure enough, we actually were in the middle of an interview, and he calls early. And
we were just looking at each other like, oh, what are we doing?
I was like, man, I didn't even answer it like this, which is kind of crazy. But so we get Lenny on, and listen, Lenny, as we said on the interview and many times on this podcast, Lenny is my favorite player growing up. I know you liked him a lot.
Oh, yeah.
With the Phillies. You got the roid years of Lenny. I got the scrappy, like, skinny years of Lenny. You got the home run Lenny. That's like two different ball players.
Exactly.
Really. Lenny was a mess all over the place. Everything from, we think, scoring drugs in the street, possibly.
I wouldn't put it past him, man.
And just like all over the map. I asked him a question about baseball. He turned into how much he loved women. I tried to keep the interview like somewhat classy because we're not really like a dirty show ever. Very rarely, but and he just let loose. And like before that, it was funny because before on the phone, I forgot to mention. He's like, "Oh, I could do. We can make this PG. We can make this X rated. We can make it very heartfelt." And then he started talking about Darren Dalton, and so I don't know if it was planned in his head or whatnot, but. What, 3 days later, 4 days later after the interview?
Yeah, I think it was. We did it on a Monday. I think he left us on a Thursday. Yeah.
So, if you were listening to the podcast, even if you go back, Lenny gives a eulogy for Darren Dalton. God rest your soul, Dutch, but you weren't dead yet.
Mm-hmm. In fact, during the interview, the Philadelphia Phillies called him to tell him, stop telling people we're asking you for his eulogy. And he kept on, he's going to be dead any day now. You already told me.
Yeah. Now the whole time, like, I sent this to a bunch of my friends that I knew would like it, like, would love to listen to it. And I'm trying to explain to them, like, the whole time, me and Mike are just looking at each other like, what the hell? Like,
yeah,
we were holding back laughter, looking at each other like, oh, my God. Like. Yeah, he tells us things about Daryl Strawberry's dong, just about drugs and alcohol.
He got in an argument with some woman on the street.
Yep. Or when he
got paranoid when he saw cops.
Yeah. One of my favorite little tidbits in there was that he and Darren Dalton survived a crash because they were so jacked from steroids. That was the Lenny Dykstra theory, that steroids helped him not get injured.
And basically the Philadelphia police are like, get out of here.
Get out of here, you two crazy kids.
Go home to your parents.
But one for the ages, my friend. When we're long and gone... that'll be one that'll stand out and be sent around again, I'm sure. I'm sure he'll do something crazy that we can tweet again and be like, hey, he did it.
No, in this world, Lenny Dykstra will live to be like 142.
Yeah. Well, I was saying to you that that speech that he did, like when Darren Dalton died, I Googled like Darren Dalton, Lenny Dykstra, and it was like almost verbatim. He must have been, it was like he was practicing on our show to read it on like a sports network.
Yeah. Well, I told you, like after Dutch Dalton died, he was doing all the different radio stations talking about
Dalton?
It. Lenny.
Tap in from beyond.
But it was kind of funny. Like you can tell some people who are not a fan of Lenny Dykstra. Like one sports reporter, I remember I was listening to him. He was doing a show. He had Lenny come on to talk about Dutch, and I didn't hear it, but I heard the day after, like, he was really mad, and he talked about how we gave Lenny a mic to talk about Darren Dalton. He talked for 20 minutes. Two of it was about Darren Dalton.
Yeah.
And then he told this story, I don't know if it was in his book or rumors or whatever, how apparently Lenny Dykstra put out a Craigslist ad for an administrative assistant. And, like, women would come over to his house, and he would greet them with just wearing a towel. And he'd be like, you know, I need help, you know, with my massage. That's why I need an assistant. come in the back. And then they go back there, and, you know, he was just, like, disrobing. Get in there. You know?
Sexually assaulting women left and right.
Oh, that crazy Lenny.
Yeah. You got to go back to that one.
It's
a winner.
It's one for the ages.
It's a winner. But so I'm back. I'm back from vacation. Every year I go away with 40 of my family members. I think it was 42 of us this year.
Wow.
We've been going since before I was born. I know I talked about it on the show before, and we stay with old, like in the Yinglings used to own it, and like Teddy Roosevelt stayed there once. So it's not like a nice place, really. It's kind of more of a run down, like bed and breakfast inn type place, but right on the lake, and it fits a lot of us. But
yeah, if I recall, last year you were basically driving your one family member nuts with that old school horn that you found in the attic.
Yeah, we couldn't find that this year; it disappeared because I wanted to do volume two, but I could not find. Yeah, the scare horn video. If you go check that out, I think it's still online
on YouTube. I believe
it should be, but vacations. It started pretty weird, so we're all out there, like, watching the sunset, like, the very first night, and having some drinks on, because there's a big like deck and there's a lot of kids now. There's a lot. There's probably like 7, 8 little children, like under like 12 and under.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you have to cross like a main road. A main road up there is a 2-lane road, but you know cars, trucks and stuff come pretty fast around there.
Mm-hmm.
And so also on the property, there's a lot of ducks. A lot of ducks like that swim, and they're not afraid of people at all. Like, they definitely come out. Like, my nephew was chasing ducks like the whole week, like trying to get them. It's like Rocky chasing the chicken.
I'm sure it's a lot of like people come up there and feed the ducks that are just basically used to.
You ever go to DC with the squirrels? The squirrels in like the DC parks like come up to you. I remember when I was in Scouts, like my Scout leader picked one up and like it was hanging in his hand just eating.
I had that when I was growing up. We had a squirrel in our house, Skippy. And he would come.
Skippy the squirrel had a name.
Well, obviously, we called him Skippy, so he had a name.
Oh, I didn't know if you just named him.
My parents called him, "Get that thing out of your hand, Mike."
Or as part of that
Ollie the Octopus, Woody Woodpecker.
Skippy the squirrel fits right in there.
Gotta get the t-shirt, man.
So these ducks, they come up by us, like where we're hanging, and then they start to go back across the street.
Mm-hmm.
We see this big, like, F-250 coming, like, 60 miles an hour, like, oh, boy. And the ducks, you know, they don't go very fast. And the guy's not slowing down. We're like, oh, no. And he just comes and plows through, like, 3 ducks. One got away, and 2 were just dead on the street, like, in pain, and the kids saw it too. Like, my little nephew was like, "What happened to the ducks?" I'm like, picked them up and went inside. It was really sad, man. Like,
that's traumatic kind of stuff.
Either he was not watching the road, or he was just some sadistic idiot, like, mm-hmm, that just was plowing through ducks, like, on purpose. But it was not the start we imagined to the vacation, but
I gotta be honest. As you were telling the story, I thought you were about to basically give me Stephen King's Pet Cemetery.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So I had the kid, and we found this old Indian burial ground. That kid was wacky when he came back.
A lot of like people, because they not everyone was out there, so people heard screams, and like the first thing you think is like the little kids.
Oh yeah.
So it was not the way, but the week was great. The week is, we're going to go into a lot of things, but. A couple notes here. Living with little kids for a week, Moana is like the biggest movie for them right now.
Yeah, the one with the Rock.
Yeah, yeah. So I've had the Rock song in my head all the "You're Welcome" like all week long, and they just sang it over and over and over and again. And I haven't seen the movie, so I do want to see the movie. So I invited my niece over to come watch, just basically, mm-hmm, so I have an excuse to watch it, like, on my own. But
see, I'm immature. I just do it.
Yeah, I like it too. But you know, it's every day. It's filled with food and cocktails and a lot of family. And one night we happen to get a little tipsy. We never got really too drunk up there, but you know, mm-hmm, it was towards the last night, and someone had like a ride on whale or like a ride on lobster.
Okay.
And somehow a couple drinks turned into who could stay on the whale the longest, while the other guys just like beat the hell and tried to flip it. So without further ado, Mike, you are looking at the Ride the Willie champion.
King Willie.
King Willie. We're calling Willie like the whale. Mm-hmm. But it was ridiculous. He'd jump on the whale and hold on, and like cousins would just like beat the hell out of you. And then like we actually had to go into a Willie off. Like it was me versus my other cousin because we had the same time. And I won by 2 seconds. Basically, only lasted like 8 seconds. It was like the rodeo because you had no chance. Like, they would flip you instantly. But
now, is it in the water? Or are you on the grass?
It's in the water. In the water. Just all out mayhem in the water. But it was like,
what's the regular attack when you're the attacker? Do you go they're sitting? Do you?
You try to flip the Willie. Try to flip, mm-hmm, it away. And it's not a very stable thing. Like the whale, it's like one of those goofy blow up whales that you hold on to.
Okay, so it's not meant for somebody to be on it, technically.
It is, but not to like float around all day. Mm-hmm. It's pretty hard. And it hurts your balls a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I won the Ride the Willie competition. And I'm sure someone has a video of it out there. So hopefully I'll get that and we can post it on.
We gotta get you like a plaque.
Yeah. Ride the Willie champ. Put it like
it, like the Free Willy DVD cover, but instead of you under the whale, you're on top of it.
With you pointing to me underneath the whale. Whenever we have an office
with
again.
With Skippy the Squirrel in my hand.
Whenever we have an office again, we'll make that happen. But and just one quick thing before we get to our interview. I guess I never noticed much, but rest stops, man, are just like some of the most ugly people and craziest people that come into rest stops all day long. Like, I stopped and, I mean, there were people, like, you go in the bathroom, they had their pants down to their ankles peeing. It was weird. And then I saw, like, a couple, and they had Michigan, like, the school Michigan husband t-shirt, and the wife had Michigan wife t-shirt on.
Oh, that's adorable. Because that's what you do.
It's awful. Like,
were they locals?
You never know. They could be. Maybe they met in Michigan. Maybe they always liked Michigan and they live there. So maybe they are locals. But locals aren't usually at the rest stops too much. So I'm always. I'm assuming.
Hey, honey. It's Saturday night. You know where we're going.
Remember when we were coming back from that Michigan game when we hooked up in the rest stop? But
get all the pamphlets of stuff that's like 200 miles away from you.
But overall, vacation was wonderful, and I feel refreshed, and now my life gets real crazy for the next 3 months. But
when you get back to work?
Today.
That soccer.
Yeah.
School's a couple weeks, right?
Yep. So we're back in pretty much full swing in 2 weeks here, but it's okay. Vacation was nice, but...
keep telling yourself that.
Yeah. Let's get to our guest. So we recorded this interview last week with the one and only Chips Cooney.
Mm-hmm. Great friend of ours. Known him for years. Been in the business for decades. Has done everything from comedy, magic, baseball. He's
jazz
been in,
drummer.
Yep. He was in a movie with Adam Sandler. I mean, the stories that he tells are amazing.
And you could, Chips, like, it's a good time to have him on because Chips was just recently on, what's it called?
Little Big Shots,
the Steve Harvey show, right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
How many shows does that guy have, Steve Harvey?
He's got a Family Feud.
Steve Harvey show? Isn't that a show still?
No. He used to have that. I think I'm not sure if he still does, like, a daytime talk show or not. But basically anything that is just, like, generic,
family.
We need a host.
Yep.
It's between him and that...
Howie Mandel.
Drew
Carey.
What's that British guy? Something Ferguson.
Oh,
Yeah, him. He's in the mix.
I know what you mean. So Chips was just on that recently. Twice, right?
Yeah.
So let's go. Here we go. Like, here's our interview with Chips Cooney, one of our good buddies.
Hello.
Hey, Chips. It's Scott and Mike. How you doing?
Yeah, I see the name popped up. Good.
Good. You got some time to do a little interview here, or?
Yeah.
Awesome. Do you have like a TV on in the background or something?
I'm gonna lower it now. Yeah. It's a Yankee game.
Oh yeah, you don't want to watch them.
They just picked up the kid from Oakland, man.
They're going for it.
Like, right before I pulled in, I was listening to FAN. They kind of said, it's got to suck to be a Mets fan because all they talked about was they were taking over New York and the Yankees were rebuilding. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden...
Yeah.
Oops.
Thanks for rubbing it in, Mike. But Chips, Chips, thanks for coming back on the show and giving us a few minutes.
Thank you for calling me. Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
I mean, I told you when we did that one interview, that had to be at least 2 years ago, if not more, that we were kind of rushed and there's some other things that I would love to get into with you. So thanks.
I think we did that at the Cove, didn't we?
Yep, Comedy Cove, right before Johnny's show, right before the other radio show. We were just kind of squeezing it in.
Yeah, I don't remember that part, but I remember sitting down with you.
Not many do, unfortunately.
But Chips, why don't we start in the present, and then we'll talk about some things. But first off, congratulations on getting on Steve Harvey's Forever Young. Getting on that. First off, can you tell us how you got involved in that, and then two, what the experience was like? You were just on it for the second time.
Yeah, how I got on the Steve Harvey thing?
Yeah, the Steve Harvey thing. And what was it like?
Well, it was. They treated me so fucking nice. That part alone. They had me stay out an extra day so they can They wanted to film the reveal that was shown Wednesday, episode 6.
Mm-hmm.
It felt good to be with people like you guys, you know, to get compliments and everything. Some places you work, they don't even tap you on the back.
Right.
I can understand. They're worried about the register. But, you know, when you're an owner like that, you got to go both ways. You can't just...
Yep.
You got to be diplomatic. That's how you get customers.
100%. Now where'd you have to go out? Did you have to go out to California for that? Or?
Yeah, I went to California. I got a phone call from somebody out there. They had a... Peaches Rodriguez, I talked to once every 4 years.
Oh, yeah, I think I worked with her somewhere.
Well, they got in touch with her. Her friend from NBC got in touch with her and asked her if you knew any older guys that had a variety act. That was funny.
Well,
she said, yeah, I got the perfect guy for you. Chips Cooney. They looked me up on America's Got Talent.
Yep.
And they sent me an email, and I'm saying to myself, this is bullshit.
Yeah, it'd be funny if you deleted it.
Well, I didn't cut it. I said, hey, who the fuck? You're kidding me a lot. But to make the story short, they called me up. And first, they paid for everything, you know, the luggage on the plane, the hotel. I got a salary there. It was great. And they liked me. That's what the important thing was. And I can see Steve Harvey liked me. So
now let me ask you something. Did you, all your years in comedy, did you ever come across Steve Harvey, like, along the journey?
Who he was.
Really?
Scott didn't even know who he was.
Well,
I Steve Harvey, and I said, wait a minute. I put the Family Feud on. I said, oh, okay, that's Steve Harvey. You know, the same thing happened with when I was on the Drew Carey HBO special out in Vegas. I'm out there. I didn't even know who he was. And Dave Itell's on the show.
Jeez.
And, you know, and I said, Dave, which one's fucking... And he said, he's sitting on the chair on the stage with blonde hair and glasses. I never follow anything. I'm just a performer. I don't get involved. Right. And yeah, so that's how I knew who he was.
I mean, as a testament to how laid back Chips is, when his first appearance occurred on Forever Young, I remember everybody was texting, and the story I kept hearing back was he was at a bar, and he was pissed off they were showing his show instead of showing the Yankees game.
That sounds like you. That sounds like
that
you.
Is me. Yes.
Well,
the Yankee fan.
Chips, I was saying that when I was introducing you before we got you on the air, I was saying, you know, that that's how me and Mike know you, is just from doing radio and hanging around the comedy scene, and you just... You know, you don't know anybody anything, and you just kind of welcome people in. And, you know, we've talked shop in the back of the Comedy Cove so many times, not even talking about comedy. I think that's, you know, that's got to go a long way with you and probably help you get some of these opportunities, because people remember that.
What do they remember, like?
No,
what
no.
I do?
Yeah, you know, you were nice to people is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But,
well, I'm trying to be nice, but I notice as you get older, you do get cranky, and I'm trying to fucking get out of that. These little things have been bothering me that never bothered me before. And I think it comes with being older and being in the business and seeing all the shit you're seeing, and you're so used to it, you can pick up faster now than you did 20 years ago.
Right.
And... I'm trying to hold my temper back. Jesus Christ.
Now, Chips, when you went to the Steve Harvey show, like I know a couple of things like changed, like the smoke thing was a little bit different, and the music. Is that like an adjustment for you, or you, like, do you have to plan it with like the tech crew and stuff like that, or you know, was it pretty smooth adjusting your act to like a little bit shorter of time, TV time? Was it any bit of an adjustment, or?
Well, the song they didn't right. They couldn't get the rights for Tony Bennett singing "It's Magic,"
right?
So they sent me five songs. I picked the one out that had a rhythm going with it in my mind that I do the magic with. And I sent that back and it went fine.
Oh, 100%. You know, probably no one would know, only the people that know you would know that.
I didn't even... It, to me, it's mind over. You know, I go up there when I do that character. I go up there in character, and I believe in my head that I'm the greatest illusionist in the world. And nothing bothers me. That's what happened when David Copperfield came to the Carolines to Seattle, and I was on the show and doing my magic, and he's just fucking staring at me. I came off the stage, and I didn't go, "Hey, Dave, how'd you like that? Was it that funny?" I came off real serious and just started to flip a coin around in front of him, put it in my right hand, flip it, catch it with my left hand, and put it in my pocket. and he's looking at me. Now he's starting to catch on where I'm coming from. I stayed in character right there. I didn't, you know. We took a picture together, and somebody went by a week later to pick it up. In lunch, the 11, but said two chips, the best magic in history.
That's awesome. One of a kind, man.
They put that on, Merrick, they put that on behind on the screen.
Yeah.
And they called them up to get permission to do that. And he gave permission.
Out of curiosity, did they forget your last name? Because I noticed Steve Harvey kept on just calling you Chips instead of Chips Cooney.
Or do you... I thought about the same thing, and he probably forgot it. Well, and what do I care? I'm an illusionist. That shit don't bother me. I'm fucking great illusionist. He can forget my first name. That wouldn't bother me. I just wanted to get that stuff down. And, you know, when you do a big thing like that, and they get anything for you. They got three smoke machines for you. They do everything for you. And the only thing was, I had nobody to hang around with during the day. All those other old people were taking naps.
What about Betty White? Were you able to meet her?
Who?
Betty White.
She wasn't there the day I was there.
Ah, dang.
I didn't see her. I don't know when she was there. They only call you up and pick you up in the van when you had a rehearsal. Yeah. So maybe, but I know I would have liked to see her. But I mean, I'm thinking, we don't want to see somebody sitting in the fucking wheelchair for.
No, Chips, let me ask you. You've been on TV with your act, and you've been through, you know, decades in the comedy scene, the ups, the downs, the grinds, the nightmare gigs. What is like what keeps you going? Like what you're an entertainer at heart, and we'll get into some of the other things you've done before, but what is it that keeps you going, like, through this thick and thin, like, and you keep grinding? Like, it's inspirational to me to see you, like, still go to an open mic and try new things, whereas sometimes I'm feeling lazy and I won't even get my ass out there because I just don't feel like it. And I should, you know. And what is it that keeps you going?
What keeps me going is the bills coming in.
Otherwise, you'd quit, right?
Otherwise, I'd quit. the bill. Oh, that fucking bill. I better make a phone call here. Another fucking bill. Look at that shit rising up. I got to make another phone call. Hell, you got any work for me? I got fucking... I just want to, and I go to the open mic, it's true, to work on new things. I want to give the audience and my own head something different. I got a new thing I'm going to be doing. No, I have to get, yeah. I'm going to be doing a ventriloquist.
Okay.
With a beard.
a ventriloquist with a beard.
So is there?
I can't see my mouth moving.
Okay. Okay. All right. So you're gonna have a dummy.
I'm going to get the dummy. I'm going to, you know, they're expensive. I just need a dummy that mouth moves, and that's what I'm going to look for.
I see. I get it now. Now I get it. So the whole thing is the beard's going to help you. Help you talk. I like it. That's right up. That goes right with your act. That's perfect.
Right. It's going to cover up my mouth, and I can do say anything I want. It's a visual. I already got the beard. I bought it 2 years ago.
You've been planning for this. That's good.
Yeah. And I just got to get the dummy and I'm not even going to rehearse it. Just wing it.
Just go up there.
Just seeing the beard just answers everything. Just coming on, and I have to figure a way how I'm going to make an entrance if I'm already there, but that's all mechanical stuff. I'd be able to do that.
Yeah. So, Chips, with all your time in the comedy field, is there a specific time or specific decade which you hold near dear in your heart and say that was like the era of comedy in your opinion?
What was that?
With all the time you've been in comedy, is there been ever a specific time or a decade where you figured that in your eyes is the golden age of comedy or where you've had the most fun?
Sure, in the 80s.
80s, okay.
Yeah. God, you were working 6-7 nights a week sometimes. Mm. Getting high, drinking, money coming in all the time, meeting new friends.
Yeah.
Meeting new people. I would say that. And then with comedy, it got slow. Yeah, the guys were coming in from out of town, driving cabs just to be seen. And then when it slowed down, they all went back where they came from.
Now, why do you think it slowed down? Everybody has a different perspective on that. Why do you think it boomed and you had comedy from what people say in every restaurant and bar you can name and all different clubs? Why do you think it just slowed down? Was it oversaturated the market and people just got sick of it, or was it the times?
I think it was TV.
Okay, TV. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, there's so many sitcoms on TV and everything. I don't think it has anything to do with the times. That's what I think, but you know, I'm not an expert like.
Yes, you are.
Come on. Yeah. You know, I was doing a new bit, speaking of baseball. I don't know if you ever seen the Monty Stratton story. You probably didn't. James Stewart played him. This is a true story. Monty Stratton was a major league pitcher.
Okay.
He had a 13-0 record. On the off season, he went hunting, and he lost his leg.
Jeez.
Oh, wow.
And he's this is in the movie. This is true. James Stewart, this is, you can Google him up. It's Monty Stratton. And he had a leg missing, and he's walking around the house. He won't put the leg on. His wife, Monty, you got to put the leg on. You're scaring the shit out of the kid walking around the house. And he puts the leg on. And she says, come on out and kid. She said, there's nothing wrong with your arm. You just have to get the balance. And what do you think he does? He works on it, and he's got it down pat. He calls up the manager. He wants to come out and play again. He explained to the manager about the arm and all. He goes out. He's playing again. He's striking guys out left and right. The manager of the other team says, I hate to do this, but start bunting. I got Monty on the stage bunting. They're bunting the ball at me. And I got him limping around, chasing the ball. And it's pretty funny. It's a visual thing, but it's a true story.
I like it.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. Now, Chips, did you ever, like, you've got like a very theatrical act and with different props and stuff like that. When did that act actually enter your repertoire? And were you like before that? Were you like a straight up normal? I don't know, not normal, but a straight up like stand up like shtick and deliver kind of guy, or were you always into like the theatrics of it?
Theatrics of it. I always did characters in my act. And then when I got into the magic, you mean?
Yeah. Like, how'd you start getting into that kind of act?
I went home one night about 25 years ago, and I sat down and I'm watching rerun of Columbo. And Jack Cassidy is the star, and he's playing this famous magician. He was a Nazi, and the owner's going to turn him in. That he used to be a Nazi in the Second World War, so he kills the guy. To make the story short, he was selling out fucking clubs left and right. He was like a great musician, his addict, but he didn't do anything. He was doing these stupid fucking magic tricks that weren't magic, and I caught on to that. I said, that's funny. Yeah. Wasn't supposed to be funny. And that's how I got into that.
Now that act has taken you. What do you think it is? What do you think people love about it? Because I've seen the act. I know what I love about it.
I don't know why. I just see something funny there, and there's a lot of magicians out there that never picked up on some of them. That, you know, they're too serious. They get so far, and then they get too serious, and they. I just thought it was funny. I don't know.
Well, it is. I mean, obviously it is. I mean, there's no doubt at this point that is. But I just can't pinpoint it. Like, to me, I think the hilarity of the act is it's you. Even though the tricks are funny, you know, and it's the reaction to it. It's the it's the deadpan.
Yes.
Look how great I am. Reaction. Like,
yes.
If you did those tricks and you were laughing. Like, if you were giggling, it wouldn't work. It's that deadpan. It's that little side smirk you do with the little bob of your head, you know? Like,
yeah, you got to pretend you're fucking great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can. And somebody said, I'll tell you who said it. Dangerfield, Rodney.
Really?
He said, Chips, I'm down in the dressing room. Then he says, you know, Valentine did something like that. I said, oh, no, Rodney, you're wrong. Valentine did fail. Reason why I noticed, I asked a real magician what Valentine's magic was really like, called. He said it's called failed magic, magic that didn't work. And I said, Ronnie, my magic works. This is fucking real. And he just looked at me. Oh, all right.
Did you know Rodney well or no?
I didn't know him well. I didn't hang out with him, but I saw him at the club all the time. Anytime he would be talking with a girl, and you walk over there, hey, not now, Chips, not now. He would put his hands up, like, don't come near him. He was, he had that hook, no respect, and he had the looks to go with it, and that's what made it work.
Yeah.
His look. Can't go up there looking like a mafia guy doing stuff like no respect. Who the fuck would laugh at that?
Now, with all the comedians that you know, Chips, was there anyone in particular that you kind of saw from the beginning where maybe you said, oh, this guy's going to be somebody, and he turned out to come, like, really huge?
Yes. Okay, Cat. Around 82.
One more time. You broke up there. Who did you say?
Up at Catch a Rising Star around 82.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Chris Rock. He was 18.
Wow, 18.
He used to come in on open mic night. And I said, this kid's got something. So I told Mike Egan, and Mike Egan was creative director then. He was outside. You know, I said, Mike, you got to go inside and catch this kid. He's got something there. He wasn't talking about stupid stuff. He was making sense. And I would say Chris Rock is the one I saw.
I mean, I remember you telling me about Chris. Like, an 18-year-old, you see an 18-year-old up there doing it. Is your instant reaction like, oh my god, like we gotta side with this guy? Or or when you're like a younger comedian, are you jealous of someone at 18 who obviously has something, obviously great?
Yeah, well, he has something, and the proof is now. You see him now.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was surprised. I haven't seen anybody 18 years old like that since.
Yeah. Oh, well, that, I mean, it's arguably like no one's really seen another. There's not really another Chris Rock, you know? Like, you can almost say that still today.
Yeah. People like that come around once every 30 years. You know, 25 years at that age. I haven't seen anybody, and I go through a lot of open mic. You know, they get a lot of confidence from their parents, and they come in there, and they talk about things that don't hit the heart. And Chris Rock always talking about something that hits the heart. That's what I saw him in. And, you know, he said he was going to get me something, but this guy's got a lot of things on their mind, man. Fucking thinking about me. The only guy who thought about me was Adam Sandler. Got me in a movie.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that for a second. You did the bench warmers thing. How did that all come to fruition?
Well, I still work with Adam before he became a star. And he said he was going to have something for me. And then I heard through the grapevine that I'm in his radar. So I called up his office a couple times. I think the third time, because once somebody tells me I'm in their radar, I'm going to stay on their back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, why not? He's talking about me. And he got on the phone. Make story short, he says, I got a thing happening in a month from now. And a month from now, they called me up. And that's how that happened. Went out there, paid for everything. First time I was on first class on a plane, and went out there, the whole thing. They had a trailer for me, and jeez, I got to talk to Reggie Jackson. I brought with it was Otto and George. It was Otto's idea. He said, "Chips, why don't you bring that paperwork you got from the Yankees? and have Reggie sign it." And I took it out there. I showed it to Reggie. And, he goes, okay, he signed it. I got to hang it up on the wall.
Oh, wow.
Well, let's also talk about that. Prior to comedy, now we talked a little bit on the last episode that we did with you. You were a very good ball player. In fact, you even got into like a Yankees farm system or minor league. You tell me about that in a second. But you were also still dabble in jazz drummer too.
I still play.
That's
great. I go to a gym session on weekends if I don't have a comedy show, and it's 10 miles from my house. I'm so lucky to have that.
That is awesome.
I don't know what I'd do without that.
How old were you when you started drumming?
I started actually late. I was around 22 years old and played the guitar before that. But I'm so sorry I sold that guitar. Today it's worth $15,000, $20,000. Now you do stupid things, but
what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Nothing. You don't think like that.
But hey, if you didn't sell that guitar, maybe you didn't become a drummer, and you didn't become a drummer, you would have not got noticed by someone. You never know. You know, you never know. You can't look back like that.
No.
And I think about it once in a while. And in high school, I had the scouts watching me, and I pulled a hamstring muscle when I was doing track in the morning. You know, back then you didn't exercise like you did today and stretch. And in the afternoon, they put me in a baseball game and I tore it. It never got better. It never got better, the hamstring. So I guess it was meant to be.
Yeah. What did you do for in baseball? I know you scouted by the Yankees or in their minor league system. I can't remember exactly.
Well, I was playing semi-pro ball. A scout came to see me from the Yankees, and he wanted to know if I wanted to have a workout at Yankee Stadium. I said, sure. Make the story short, I got there. There was around 17 of us. And we had a workout, hitting us flies, batting, and all that stuff. And then when I got to Germany a year later in the Army, there was somebody there. Chip, you're already done. They're already on the baseball team. So I don't know if I want to play. I said, I want to go on leave. And I went on leave all the time. I went to Barcelona, Spain, Copenhagen, Denmark, Rome. I didn't feel like playing ball. And then I got into the drums. What are you going to do?
It's amazing how much different culture you've had in your life. Is there anything out there that you wish you got into or you still look to get into since you're such a big artist?
Yeah, I like to get into Raquel Welch.
Is she still around?
She's born on the same month and day as me.
Oh, nice, nice. You should call up Steve Harvey, see if they have an offshoot of his show for like a love connection.
Well, when it comes to my birthday, I'll probably Google her and just say, hey, happy birthday, same month and day as me.
We have so much in common. Let's just go with it.
Yeah, but I'm pretty happy. I'm okay the way things are. I don't have a mortgage. And I just wish I had more money so I could help my nephews out more. That's all. Because, their father's not around or whatever. And I just wish I could do more for them. And that's all. And I would if I came into some money because, I'm older now and if that happens to you when you're young, you don't know what the hell is going to happen. Yeah, you can go nuts and everything else. But when you're older, you've been through all that stuff. And Jesus, I used to drink. And I remember meeting a girl on New Year's Eve. And Rick Morgan fixed me up with it. It was his wife's girlfriend. And she invited me over to the house after us, drunk as hell. Inviting me over to the house after us. I had to follow you. And I'm following and following. The car stops. The guy jumped out. He said, what are you following me for? I followed the wrong car.
Chips, before we go, I got two questions for you. One,
sure.
One, you see all the – do you still, like, enjoy seeing young comics get up and new comics get up and if you had, like, a piece of advice you've seen – the ups and downs, like I said, of this business, you've been through every, the highs and lows, and you still grind at it. What would that piece of advice be?
Just be a little humble.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Sadly, that's something that's got to be taught to a lot of people.
I mean, I met stars that are humble, Robin Williams, Jerry Orbach, from Law and Order, very stars, but very humble, and you learn from them, and I don't know if you learn from it, but I like that kind of an attitude. I don't like a real, but that's only me.
Do you still like watching young comics, or you like seeing young comics get up and trying it and doing it?
Sometimes, it depends what the situation is.
Right.
And I go by the off stage more than on stage.
100%. 100%.
And that's what I go by. Because if you're okay off stage, it's going to work out for you.
No doubt.
I know a lot of comics who were big stars back in the 80s, and they're not doing hardly anything today.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like me and Mike said, you've always been, like, you know, you've always been such a humble dude, and I think that's what's the best part about you. You know, like, I could see your act 100 times. It's funny. It's always funny to me to, like, just think about, you know, what you're thinking behind it, you know, how you came up with it, the little nuances you do. But then you'll sit there and you'll ask a young guy how they're doing and what's up and how you been. And, yeah, you know, so that I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah. Yeah. To see them off stage. Yeah. You can tell what they're going to be like on stage.
So, Chips, what's coming up in the future or the near future? What are you working on? And if, like, people want to check out your stuff, where should they go?
Well, I do the Slipper Room a lot in Manhattan. I'm there about 30 times a year. They treat me real good there. It's a variety place. It's not a stand-up. It's strippers. They have strippers there.
And, are you one of them?
No.
Not yet. You're trying out.
I do the oldest Chippendale dancer.
well,
and
imagine the tips you would get if you came out
and, you know,
blew their mind.
Yeah, they get tips, and they split them with everybody. I'm happy with the place. It's just pain in the ass driving there, but
yeah,
what are you going to do? That's what I'm doing. I'm waiting for. I'm supposed to have a show Saturday. Guy hasn't gone back to me yet. I asked him, did you fucking die? I said, I called you 4 times. I said, call me up, giving me the GPS address. He hasn't given me a call yet.
Is that the one in Linden you were telling us about, the at Bananas?
No, that's another one. I got it written down right here. 24th of August, a Thursday, Linden, 20 minutes. I don't know who booked me there.
Well, if you're in the area, guys, go drive around Linden until you find Chips. Chips, it is always so much fun to talk to you. You know, we'll have you on again in the future. You know what? Maybe we'll have you start doing some characters on here, because it's been way too long since I've heard a Chips Cooney character.
Yeah.
Well, I love doing them. The last character I think I did was the salesman for the sandals that sold the 12 disciples the sandals.
Oh, my God. I remember all that stuff. I remember there were so many good ones. But, Chips, thank
you. And he was a concert professional. Like, beforehand, it's like, okay, this is your character. Got it. Well, maybe you should. No, I'll figure it out.
I got this.
I just want to thank you so much for having me on.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for coming on with some short notice, too. Yeah. It just happened.
It's all timing. It worked out good.
Awesome, Chips. Yep. Chips, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you soon. Isabel, send her love. I send some love.
All right. Everybody there, I love you all. Thank you.
Chips, you're the best, and when I put this out, I'll like tag you in it and all that stuff, so hopefully some people will listen to your story, and we'll, you get more work from it.
Well, thank you. I hope so. Let's see what happens.
All right. Take care, brother. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Chips.
Thanks everybody.
Only Chips Cooney.
Great guy.
Yeah,
great
he's guy. It's nice because he likes to, like, I don't think he gets, like, interviewed on his life too often. Like, yeah. I think it's more of, like, oh, you're a comic, blah, 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 comic. Mm-hmm. So it's just, like, cool because he's done so many other things. And the first time I interviewed him, I didn't get to all of them. And there was a lot that I wanted to, but we were starting the other radio show.
Mm-hmm. How's that one going?
Oh, it's great. I heard they got the best soundboard around.
Oh, thank God they put some money into that for once.
Yeah. So with
inside
that
inside joke.
With that, you want to play a game real quick?
Let's do it, buddy.
All right, it's a really hard game.
All right.
So
wait, true or false?
Yes.
Okay.
So I wanted to get into this. So person we both know, which actually goes back to the radio show, is basically just ignorant. Racist old lady at this point is just growing and growing and growing. It's worse and worse. Super right wing, like, but she can barely spell.
Yeah,
puts up these ridiculous posts. Right,
I wouldn't be surprised if she has a tiki torch just waiting for the next one,
which we'll get into at the end of the show. Talk about that a little bit. Unfortunately, But then there's this other comic that's been bothering me. It's this young comic, and he's just like this super blowhard comic. Like, everything he does is the greatest thing ever. It makes these ridiculous posts. And then
the guy that's like, I just killed at this open mic.
100%. And then there's Lenny Dykstra.
Oh.
Lenny Dykstra. So it's really hard to get in Burlum. I hope you can keep up. But you're just gonna, I'm going to give you a quote, and you're going to have to pick out if it was a racist old white lady,
okay,
a blowhard young comic, or nails. You want to play?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's get the theme music fired up that we use for anything game show related. All right. I got to get my phone here.
Oh, it's time for plugs.
Plugs. All right. Are you ready to play? Old racist white lady, blowhard comic, or Lenny Dykstra?
So my answers are racist, comic, or nails.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. RCN.
All right, man, here's the first one. Mm-hmm. I was at the store, and someone I didn't know stopped me. He said, hey, man, you're that guy who makes the comedy shows in town? I said, yeah. He said, dude, the last one was the best comedy show I've ever been to. When's the next one? Hearing this was one of the greatest moments of my life.
I guess I will go with the blowhard comic.
Correct, bro.
All right, all right.
One point
on the board. I'm on the board.
One point on the board. They start easy. They start easy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this next one. I'm getting addicted to hurting the feelings of hecklers. I'm getting addicted to hurting the feelings of hecklers.
Oh, that's the whole thing.
That's his post.
All right. I will say comic again.
Oh, Mike Burlow, two on the board.
All right,
two on the
all
board.
Right.
Because when you're comic, you have to say how badass you are when you take down hecklers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a...
Even when they don't like you, you just turn it around.
Because the hecklers at the open mics are it's
brutal. Terrible.
Yeah. Okay.
That's why I retired, man.
All right. This garbage that happened yesterday in Charlottesville had nothing to do with racism at all. To do with keeping our American history safe, and besides that, had a lot to do with the idiots that are getting paid by Soros to come in with guns and defeat everybody and run down with cars. That has nothing to do with white supremacy. There's nothing to do with that. They are screwing around with our history. It's in our history books. Then you have people like George Soros paying people to come in with guns to run down people that blames. That's the blame for this.
Yeah, that was the mother.
Yes, that's the racist mother.
Yeah.
Not one piece of punctuation in there. Not one piece of punctuation.
Commas are for the left wings, you know.
And it's nice that it's had nothing to do with racism at all.
No.
Nothing.
No.
The Nazi salutes, the Nazi flags, the protests, nothing to do. You're doing good,
history,
Mike.
Man.
You're doing good. 3 points on the board. All right. This next one is, how's the slot? How's the slot?
How's the slot? I gotta go nails on this.
That's
one.
Good old nails. Good old nails, referring to the female anatomy as the slot.
I bet if we called him right now, he would just go into, oh yeah, we did do that interview.
In 3 different sets tonight, man. A mic, a show in Brooklyn, and a show in Manhattan. Crushed all 3 for the most part. And now I have to head back home to shitty Jersey. New York is where I need to be, and I'm realizing it more than ever. I can't wait. Literally probably not going to sleep.
Before I answer, if you crush for the most part, that means you sucked in 2 and you got a couple laughs in 1.
Yeah, and two of them were mics, by the way. Nobody does great things.
And that would be the comic.
No, that's yes, the comic. That's the comic. All right.
Yeah.
You got a couple more in you, Mike? You got a couple more in you?
Keep going,
all right.
Friend. I'm enjoying this.
All right. Anyone who wants to complain about the president's response and speech he made about the Charlottesville incident yesterday needs to just shut their trap. This poor man can't seem to do anything right in the people's eyes. Oh, he didn't address them as Nazis and white supremacists. Whoop-dee-doo. He did a mighty fine job to me. Just shut up, you hypocrites. Spelled wrong. Just shut up. He didn't seem to care for 8 or more years to do anything to stop what was going on. So why do you care now? So sick of the criticizing and the liberals causing trouble. I just want them to go away.
That poor billionaire she's talking about?
That poor man.
That would be the mother.
Ah, the racist mom. Mike, you're killing it. I don't even know how you're doing this. This is amazing. I do have some expertise with pharmaceuticals myself, believe it or not, and I can concur.
That has to be nails.
That is good old nails. Good old nails. Let's see what else we got. I got in the cooker here. If you're a comic and you take your art form seriously, I think you should be producing at least one show, if not monthly, annually. Not only for yourself, but for the community, man. If more comics produced, it would change the game for the better.
I guess that's a comic.
I didn't think I'd be the guy, but I'm unfriending anyone who has something shitty to say about a man's suicide. Also, I just wanted you to know that I think you suck, and it's why I don't book you.
I guess from "that's why I don't book you" would be the comic.
That's the comic, yeah. Again, bro. Don't think too hard into this. If you're butthurt that I got an opportunity before you, how about you stop complaining and put some more work in? It's effing pathetic, and it's why you won't get booked.
I guess the comic again.
Yeah.
You really should have ended with booked. Right, what the hell is Lenny right. booking?
I think I got one more.
All right.
Okay. Robert E. Lee's statue stood in hashtag Charlottesville, spelled wrong, for 105 years, and it offended no one. Why now?
I wish they were like, why isn't it trending? Oh, good old Judy. Or whomever that racist mother could be.
Correct. Burlow, you complete perfect score.
Oh, man.
In the first ever.
We're both champions.
Who
now.
Who said
you're
it?
You're the Wooly champion.
Ride the Willy?
Ride the Willy champion.
The racist white lady, the blowhard comic. Or the Well, obviously that was just a way for me to make fun of three people at once. That have been... Well, Lenny doesn't piss me off. But the other two...
Mm-hmm.
If you're a comic, okay, you are a nobody. Even people we know that have done really good things are humble.
Yeah.
And I get it. When I started, I was excited.
Let's just start off. I mean, from the interview we just put up there with Chips, he's been going 5 decades.
100%.
There's nothing about him where he'd sit back and go, God, he's got an ego, man.
Yep. And he could have one.
Yeah, easily.
Or guys like, Mark Riccadonna, who's a writer. He's the first guy to, sit down and, hang out with you, mm-hmm. and talk to you. The attitude has to just, I don't know if it's just they're young and they're dumb and, Facebook is their way to say, hey, look at me. Me and Joe were having a conversation about this for a while. People will post, pre-food, eating before my gig in Brooklyn tonight. Did you have to mention your gig in every... Yeah. It's just a very, look at me...
It's McDonald's. Why did you tell me about
And if
this?
People saw half the gigs that we do, these comics do, it's usually, one good gig per every, four crap gigs, or okay gigs, okay. But, the full houses and the good audiences, they don't come along very often, especially when you're nobody. Like myself, when you're nobody, you just, you don't never expect, you never know what you're going to get.
It just seems like people are more about the bragging instead of just staying humble, get a good
Working
vibe.
Hard.
You know, getting on shows, doing mics, and somebody go, oh, I like your stuff, blah, blah, blah. It's more about telling, yo,
I'm
the best, man.
Check it out, I'm doing it.
Oh, man, nobody thought about the shit I just came up with. Nobody.
That's the other thing. Nobody's jokes are that. You're telling me. Outside of, let's name, the big one. Outside of marriage, divorce, children, work,
childhood,
commuting, childhood, and drugs and drinking. Like, mm-hmm. you know, those are your main like 8-9 topics, whatever it is, and it's all your twist on them and stuff like that. Of course, there's other people that do different things, but your main one, your thought that you had about your childhood is not this mind bending thing, but it's good because it's in your voice. It's what you do. But it's just, you're not this, you're not Plato.
No.
You know, you're not writing this thing that's going to change the world.
Here's the easiest gauge to look at. We talked about it before, the Louis C.K. special. His first joke set was about rape.
Yep.
And it killed.
Yep.
And I'm not, like, kissing butt and all. It literally, it was hilarious. Mm-hmm. It was thought out and whatever. One of you try that.
If go, you're go so try that great, the local mic.
Yeah, if your writing is so mind-bendingly amazing, and I'll take something where you go, ooh, make it hilarious and start.
Yeah, we're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of being like, oh, what a great show tonight or something. But when you're posting that you killed, and you're posting that everything is life-changing, and people are coming up to you going, that was the greatest thing in my life. I don't know about that, dude. No. I don't know about that. And everybody's guilty a little bit of something. But this one person just consistently does it over. Every post is like he cured cancer. Like, the shows are just, we're young. We're going to change the world with this show and this pro. It's a guy, relax, man. Relax. But,
just be like normal people and all. I'd like to thank blah blah for putting me on the show.
Exactly.
Blah,
good
blah,
time
blah,
tonight.
Blah blah was great.
Yeah, good time tonight. Had a great time.
Yeah.
I never mention my set ever. Maybe if I bomb, I'll be like, I took a hot one tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But that drives me crazy. But I guess we should get into. The reason I brought up the old racist lady is because. I sent you those messages yesterday, two of them, because I could not believe what I was reading. I could not believe what I was reading. Obviously, at this point, everybody knows what happened over the weekend in Virginia. Tragic events, white supremacists. You've seen the pictures with the tiki torches, and you've seen the protests and the videos and the outrage. This was the first person I saw someone that put up something so blatantly ignorant and racist, like... It has nothing to do with racism. It's literally people claiming that they're racist. Yeah. They are proud.
Their whole group. I mean, nobody goes around and saying, you know, the KKK has a great bake sale. I mean, I know they do the racist stuff, but that bake sale.
Exactly.
The brownies.
It was the first like post I saw that was so brutal. And this person's known. I've sent you posts of hers before. It gets under my skin. Like, I don't give a crap if you're right or left, but it's like...
I mean, we kind of talked about it once before. I mean, does anything outrage you? And we're both pretty laid-back guys.
Yeah.
And I can literally say, when you said it and I read it, I knew Izzy was going to freak out when I showed it to her. She was taking my phone.
You were on the way to a vigil, too, right?
Yeah, I was at a vigil up in Phillipsburg. It was pretty last minute, the gentleman who got together... it was about 25 people up there, and, you know, all we did, we lit candles, some people, you know, made signs, you know, we were on the corners of the street, people were honking and, you know, supporting the whole thing, and then we went over where he had a microphone set up, and him and a few people there, actually the mayor of Phillipsburg heard about it, and he showed up there, and he did a... speech there, and it was, you know,
you did your bus joke.
No, I didn't. I was kind of worried that, like, all right, after we do this, we're gonna go over there, we're gonna, you know, all share stuff and all. I'm like, oh damn,
who's married out there, anybody? Anybody celebrating?
Yeah, so like 3 or 4 people in the community, some people are actually even running for office for like the Green Party. They, you know, they're talking about, you know, unity and just the sadness of the whole thing. And, like, the thing that really hit me in the whole ordeal was this one gentleman, African-American, he brought his, 5-year-old daughter, 4 or 5-year-old boy there. Yeah. And I'm looking at it, and I stopped for a second. I literally said to myself, this 4, 5, 6-year-old kid's, they know what a Nazi is.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's mind-blowing to me.
It's the oldest thing in the book. Kids don't know hate. They don't.
Yeah.
It's from their upbringing, their parents, their community. And then it becomes ingrained in them. It's something, the old nature versus nurture argument. Yeah. You're not born hating black people or hating white people. It's, you know, who are you around? What are you being said to you in the home? What have you been exposed to? You know, what you read. Mm-hmm. And you just become a sponge. You know, you start to, it's hard for these people to shake. I love that these guys are getting called out on like Twitter and they're all like, oh, I didn't know I was going to be raped. I'm like, you're doing the Nazi salute.
Mm-hmm. You have torches. Torches. What did you think was happening? Yeah.
The whole thing is just so sad, man. It's just like.
And a lot of them are losing their job. Like after that. You know, that big photo that's going viral right now, people are picking out people and saying, this is blah, blah, blah.
A lot
blah.
Of them are responding like, I didn't know it was going to be... Well, sorry, pal.
I just really
listen,
like...
if me or you were caught, we'd lose our jobs too. Yeah. You know? If we're at the Nazi thing...
Well, that's how I lost the last show.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that next
week. It was awkward, you know. Guys, this is kind of weird. What we're doing here? Why are all those black people mad at us?
But I just, I mean, I read those statuses and I say, imagine being a person of color and reading someone just post, this has nothing to do with racism. Like, or nobody was offended. But like, listen, I personally don't think they should take the statues down. I think they should make them like an education.
Yeah.
Like even surround them with like education on what happened. And, but you're going to say even, it didn't offend anyone for years. Mm-hmm. This has been going on forever. People are offended by like things like that or cause we are white men, okay? You are a white lady. Who are you to speak on behalf of like millions and millions of people who are who have relatives that were slaves, who did, you know, who changed that statue might be somewhere in that family that changed where they are today, you know?
I mean, I'll put it this way. When I went to Cooperstown, I was going through the Hall of Fame. You know what was the last year of the Negro Leagues?
Oh, yeah, you were telling me this. Way later, right?
60.
Yeah.
60. There are people who are, I would say, probably in their 60s right now who actually remember a separate league because they wanted to keep black people out of the sport. And there was a whole thing about, well, we can't integrate them and, you know, they're animals and stuff like that. It just, people still don't get it's not that long ago. And
it's
all
not
Mississippi
that long ago.
Burning, all. Everything that going on with segregation is you got to just sit back and say, shut up.
And you have to say to yourself, listen, you're a white person. Doesn't mean white people shouldn't have an opinion. Like, no, of course not. I'm not stupid. But you can't be saying things that and assuming that, like, I don't know, just shutting down like someone who is colored or an immigrant who may have ancestors that were killed by these people or you even if you're a white person, I guarantee someone in your family was fighting Nazis in World War II. Like, how I don't know. The whole thing drives me crazy. Like, let people speak. Like, you're shitting on people like that? Like, you're making this about who you voted for? People were mowed down by cars.
See, that was about the only thing I didn't like, the discussion when we were having our thing, like, people talking about, oh, you know, it's the Republicans. I'm like... An ideology of Republicans aren't bad. It's the people who take that and add to it religious beliefs, racist beliefs, and kind of say, well, that should be the law, too. And that's why a lot of people from the left are kind of like, oh, that's you Republicans.
Yeah. Well, even when we talked to Christian Picciolini a couple weeks ago, who was, if you guys go back, the message pertains very well right now. He was a former head of the skinheads in America and hate groups, and he's now reforming people, and he's been out of the hate groups for years, yada, yada, yada. But even like he said, and like I've said it in conversation with people before, it's not so much Donald Trump. It's the people that somehow have felt empowered by him for whatever reason, whether it was something he said that got misconstrued, but it's the hate groups that feel like they're this is their leader. This is their guy. We are awakened. They're speaking for us. And those are the scary people. That group is scary, you know? Like,
even after the whole thing where Trump did his speech and says, you know, a lot of terrible things happened. Both sides.
Yeah.
I think it was the KKK, but it was one of the hate groups that put on the front page of their website, Donald Trump did a great job, didn't call us out, blah, blah, blah. That's why we love him. And that's kind of what led to this one today where even... Today, he just did his speech on a teleprompter and then walked away. And then somebody's like, well, I thought it was a press conference. And no, yeah, but I don't like you. Fake news.
Fake news.
I mean, that was the first time. I mean, I really try to be impartial, and I'm trying to give this guy somewhat a shot, even though I hate him to death. And today I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm done. I gave him this the last couple months have just been like, okay. Like, it's all that stuff that I was like, you know, at the election, like, it's not going to happen. Like, that's great. People are getting just nervous. A lot of it's happening, man. Like, a lot of stuff, like, bad stuff is happening. And is it all for him to blame? No. But it's some of the things that, like, people were afraid about, like, are happening. You know, like, if you're like, a minority, a person of color, a gay person, like, there are things to worry about. You're, you know, people's rights are being taken away or reversed or rulings are being reversed. Like, there's a lot on the table. And, like,
I mean, we,
I'm done with that imbecile.
I mean, we're pretty much close. We've had what close to be called a race war or a race riot. We've had transgenders kicked out of the military.
Yep.
And during all this,
multiple attempts at the Muslim ban.
Yeah. And during all this, we're sitting back crapping our pants because North Korea has got a missile shooting somewhere around here.
Yep.
But I guess the big thing to talk about is Colin Kaepernick and Marshawn Lynch standing up.
Yeah. And the 9,000 press secretaries that get fired every day. It's a train wreck. Yeah. Everyone's getting fired. Nothing's happening. It's just as bad as like a lot of people imagined, which is kind of crazy. But the whole Charlottesville thing is very sad. And it just reminds you, like I've said a million times, you've heard me say it, but every episode's different. When you stop for a second, you're like, oh, racism's not, you know, it's not bad. Like I said, go to any article about President Obama or something like that and go read the comments section. And you tell me if racism's dead. And you see something like this and you're like, okay, racism is still very prevalent, especially in the South and in, you know, I don't know.
One thing you should look up on YouTube, Bill Maher on his show did a thing where he's like, okay, you're saying you're not you know, racist against Obama. He had Obama imitator do a bunch of Trump quotes, and it's the most hilarious thing you've ever seen. Yeah.
But we'll talk more about that next week. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Berlo, anything to promote?
I mean, after what we talked about, there's no other place I could promote other than lifeafterhate.org. That's run by Christian Picciolini, one of our former guests, and a bunch of other people who were in skinheads, neo-Nazis, KKK, and they brought their life back together and they're trying to teach people to get out of the hate groups and trying to grow with people and grow community. You know, they're looking for support. They're looking for any help. Their funding got pulled recently.
Yep.
That was going to come from the government. They had a fund and got pulled by this government. So go to lifeafterhate.org and read up about the group and give them some money.
Yeah. I'm not going to promote anything in particular, but just go check out Chips Cooney. Go check out either his comedy dates or go check out him. Type in Little Big Shots, Chips Cooney. You should be able to find it online.
America's Got Talent in his own.
Yeah, America's Got Talent. And I will promote us, okay? Us. We've had such a vacation. Again, I was like reflecting on some of the, you know, people I've had on, like a guitarist from my favorite band, Coheed and Cambria, top favorite band, sent us a picture in a shirt the other day.
Victor Wooten. Kind of funny, on a side note, as I'm trying to get other guests, I sent an email to a group that gives monkey helpers.
Yeah.
And they basically sent me an email, and, you know, tell us what kind of questions you like. And she's like, side note, I'm listening to your Victor Wooten episode because I love him.
It's awesome. So, like, there's just been a lot of really good guests at it. It's hard because we put one out every week, so, like, they seem to get past, you know, you almost forget about them because we got to keep moving forward. But if you go back, just, like, take from January 1st to here, it's just been a lot of really, really good interviews. And even us, I think sometimes we take for granted, like, oh, we did this, got to get more guests. And we've, you know, every once in a while I can take a breath and be like, hey, we got some really good people on, like, you know. But also we have blue T-shirts, $15, okay, just message me and I'll ship it on out to your house, okay. And other than that, share the podcast, rate the podcast, and most of all, listen to the podcast. Let's get out of here, Berlo. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back.
Stay together, people.
Okay. I see what's happening, yeah. You're face to face with greatness, and it's strange. You don't even know how you feel. It's adorable. Well, it's nice to see that humans never change.
This has been in my head all week.
Let's begin. Yes, it's really me. It's Maui. Breathe it in. I know it's a lot. The hair, the bod. When you're staring at a demigod. What can I say except you're welcome for the tides, the sun, the sky. Hey, it's okay, it's okay, you're welcome. I'm just an ordinary demigod. Hey, what has two thumbs and pulled up the sky?